First John chapter number 2. If you would stand, would you find your place there? First John chapter number 2. Let's go ahead and start in verse 1 again. I know we read some of those verses Sunday. Start in verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Thank God for that. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thinketh true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. We started looking at 1 John on Sunday, both services on Sunday. I don't know how long Lord would have me be here. I'm just trying to be obedient. I would still like to go back and finish up Judges if the Lord will allow me to. And I'm just trying to follow the Holy Spirit and follow his leading. So we're back in 1 John again tonight. Sunday we cover the first chapter in the morning service. We talked about the realness of Jesus and the realness of fellowshipping with him. We saw that the secret for true joy is fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. We talked about the importance of it, how it's his joy that's in us, not our own joy, it's not of what we have or what we can do. It's all of him and the secret to joy. So tonight I quickly cover those first two verses of chapter number 2. John tells us to aim for perfect. He tells us to sin not. Be thankful that God forgives less than perfect. Aim for perfect, be thankful he forgives less than perfect. Why does John tell us that? I believe he's making a point. He's telling us all about God forgiving sin and God being our advocate and how faithful he is to forgive. So John makes the point, I write these things unto you that you sin not. He's saying, I'm not writing this to give you permission to sin. I'm not writing you to tell you to live any old way you want to just because God will forgive. I write this that you sin not. Just because God forgives doesn't mean you got to sin. A lot of folks today get that confused, and I already mentioned this some Sunday night, but God doesn't save us to give us the ability to just go off and live any old way we want to and do any old thing we want to. He saves us, he forgives us, and he gives the Holy Spirit to guide us. So hopefully we'll stay out of sin. That's the goal. The goal is to sin not. The point is not to get out of jail free card and go live in sin. I believe John is making this point here very plain. He's going to add a little to it later on, as we'll see later on. But in the rest of this chapter, I won't cover it all tonight, but John is going to give us some tests for salvation, tests for faith, tests of salvation, tests on whether we truly love God or not. Some tests to prove whether we know him and love him or we don't. So look at a few of those, just probably a couple of those tonight. Some tests for salvation, tests of salvation. Test number 1, keep his commandments. Verse number 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We will know that we know him if. That word know has a meaning of having an experience with. Someone or something you can speak about. You know you've been there before. You've been down this road with them before. Someone you can be sure about. Someone you understand where they're coming from, what they're about. What experience can any human have with God? Salvation. It's the first experience. John says that hereby we do know that we know him. We can be absolutely sure that we have had an experience. We can be sure that we're saved if we keep his commandments. That's scary, isn't it? Scary thing to say. You can know that you know and be 100% absolutely sure that you know him if you keep his commandments. That's what John says here. I'm not adding anything to it. That's what it says right there in the verse. I don't know about all of you, but I don't 100% of the time keep every one of his commandments. By the way, there's a lot more than just the Ten Commandments and Exodus. There's commandments all throughout the Scripture we're supposed to follow. I do not 100% of the time keep every one of them. I wish I could say I did, but I'm a sinner like everybody else is. I don't always do that. So does that mean I'm not saved? No. We know we don't always follow every commandment from the first chapter. John tells us we don't. If any man says he had not sinned, he makes him a liar. He makes God a liar. So what is John saying here? What is John saying? That word keep. Now, I'm not trying to add anything to Scripture. I'm trying to understand what John is telling tell us. That word keep means to guard. To keep his commandment. Guard from loss or injury. It says to be by keeping the eye upon. That's what the word means. It's like a prison guard who is constantly guarding against an inmate escaping, guarding against not following His commandments. If you're keeping His commandments, that means that you, with the help of the Holy Ghost living inside of you, you are constantly on guard against sin. You're guarding against it, warring against it, doing your best not to let anything through. If you do sin, then you're convicted about it. You move by the Holy Spirit to get it right. It means you're guarding against it. You're keeping His commandments, doing everything you can to stay right and be right. We all sin. John has already told us that. He says, if you say you don't, you're a liar. It's our attitude about it that makes a difference. If you can sin and never bother you at all, you might want to check up. You might want to spend some time in prayer. You might want to check up on yourself. John gives us here two different examples in the next two verses, verse 4 and 5. Number one, he gives us the example of lying. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. John just lays it right out there for us. The first example John gives is that of a lie. He saith, I know him. He that saith, I'm saved. He that saith, I'm a Christian, and keepeth not his commandments, does not guard against sin, guards not against breaking a commandment. John says he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. John lays out there very plain. If a man says he's a Christian, and he never acts like it, never is convicted of his own sin, never tries to ask forgiveness, can live just as wickedly as anybody else can, and never do anything about it, John says he's a liar. The truth is not in him. It's what I was referring to earlier. Being saved is not just a get-out-of-jail-free card. It allows you to do whatever you want to do. If you get truly born again, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you're not going to be able to get away with sin for forever. Conviction is, you're going to have convictions. You're going to be judged by God. God will judge it. He has to. He is righteous. You will not God will not bless a man that's living in sin. It's not going to happen. John says in verse 1, sin not. He says here, if you're constantly off in sin and never guarding against sin, never attempting to even try to do right, John says you're a liar. The truth is not in you. It says in Matthew 7:22, the words of Jesus, many will say to him in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in that name? And in that name have cast out devils, and in that name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Some of the same thing John is talking about. There are many folks who say they know God. When it comes time to it, they're just lying. It's scary. It ought to be convicting us. It ought to give us a desire to go out and try to win somebody to the Lord. Many are depending on some long-gone profession they made a long time ago that wasn't true. They never meant it. Many are depending on the fact their grandma or grandpa used to grow up in church. And I've heard many times in the South, my grandpa built the church. It's not going to change anything about it. It's not going to work. John says, if you will say you know him and you do not keep his commandments, John says you're a liar. It's the example of lying. It's the example of loving. Verse number 5. But whoso keepeth his word, and him verily is the love of God perfected, hereby know we that we are in him. Exact opposite of verse number 4. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That word perfected means completed. Hereby know we that we are in him. You faithfully keep putting the Word of God in you, you can be sure that you are in Him. A desire, a deep down personal love for God and His Word is a pretty good indication of what's inside your heart. If you love God's Word, not just at church on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night, but truly in your heart, love His Word and love the Lord, it's a pretty good indication of your condition, your heart condition. The devil and your flesh are not going to love the Word of God. It's not going to happen. It says in Psalms 119, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. He says here in the psalmist says, how shall a young man cleanse his ways? By listening to the word of God. Following the word of God. How are we going to avoid sin? By hiding God's word in your heart. Whoso keepeth his word, John says, and him verily is the love of God perfected. That's that agape love. Does that mean that God loves us more if we keep his word? If I keep God's word, God's going to love me more than he loves somebody else. No, that's not how that works. He doesn't love anybody more than he loves anybody else. He loves us all, for God so loved the world. God's not a respecter of persons, the scripture tells us. So what does it mean of God's love, that agape love is perfected or completed in us? Does that mean God loves us more if we follow him? No, he loves us the same. It means that we will have that love. If you keep his word, if you hide his word in your heart, if you follow his word, follow his commandments, the love of God will be in you. Hereby know we that we are in him. It's of him. There's a lot to that agape love. I think Brother Dale talked about that a few weeks ago. The point is, I'm not going to cover all that tonight. But the point is, you put the word of God in you. You keep the word. You keep the commandments as best you can. Guard against sin. You put that in. Love of God will come out. And you will know that you are in him. You put the word of God in. Love of God will come out. Test of salvation. Do you really love God? We have a verse here to think about. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's the only time in our King James Bible that word success is used, right here in the book of Joshua. The only time it's used, and it has to do with following the book of the law, following the word of God. It has to do with meditating on the word of God day in and day out. I don't know about you, but I want to be prosperous. He talks about that there in that verse. I want to be successful. I do. I don't think there's anyone here that wants to fail. If I'm wrong, correct me. Anybody want to be a failure? I would hope not. Might want to get some things checked out. We want to be successful. I want this church to be a success. I want my small part in this ministry, I want it to be a success. I don't want to be a failure as a pastor. I feel like it most times, but I don't want to be that way. I want to be a success. I want to be a success as a husband and as a father. I want my business to be a success. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I want to provide for my family the best way I can. I want to be a success. You want to be a success? Joshua says, stay in his word. Meditate on it. Back in 1 John, keep his word. Hide his word in your heart. Put his word in you. His love will come out, and then you'll know that you are in him. Some tests of salvation. It says in verse number 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Exhortation from John. If you're going to say that you abide in him, you ought to walk like him. It's the easy thing to say, easy thing to preach, but it's a hard thing to live. If you're going to claim to be a Christian, you ought to act like it. You ought to walk like it. Christian means to be Christ-like. There are many that claim to be a Christian and walk nothing like Jesus walked. John says, if you're going to say that you abide in him, walk as he walked. Walk like Jesus did. We all have the Gospels. We have all the Gospels explained to us how Jesus walked. Not that hard to find some examples on how we should walk. Look at all he did, not and who he did it for. He cared. He was stern on sin, yet he was merciful. He stood on the word of God. Yet he loved everyone, but he didn't justify sin. He did forgive it. Amen. Many examples. We look at it, how to walk. I think you get the picture there. If you're going to say you're saved, if you're going to say you're a Christian, you best walk like it, John says. I've had people on, I don't know about how you feel about Facebook, people on Facebook, I think I get rid of most of them by now, but one day they'll be posting about the scriptures and about how God's blessed them and used them, different things, and the very next post is a cuss word in it and talking about different and saying something wrong about somebody else. It's no wonder we don't have any influence in our communities, and that's how we live our life. One old preacher said before, we ought to walk right, talk white, talk right, and spit white. If you don't know what that means, don't worry about it. My dad always told me growing up, if you're going to talk the talk, you best walk the walk. Some basic common sense lessons, but man, how is overlooked when it comes to the Word of God. John just lays it out there for us. If you're going to say you're a Christian, you best look like one. You best act like one. Guard against it. Put his word in your heart. Pretty simple thought. It'd be hard to live by. Easy thing to say, hard thing to live. If you love God, keep his commandments. Test number 2, a love for the brethren, verse number 7. Same 1 John chapter 2, verse number 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now, John gives a second test for our love for God, or a test for salvation, test for love for the brethren. Notice how he starts here. He says, brethren. He's talking to brethren. He's talking to those that have been saved. He's talking to those in the church. He's preaching to the choir now. He says, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. Now, what is here? What is John talking about? What is this old commandment they've heard from the beginning? What is he talking about? Leviticus 19:18 says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. It's been the same message preached since the beginning of Leviticus. This is part of Jewish teaching. John says, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. You've heard this before. You've known this before. You know this from the beginning. Then the very next verse, almost like he contradicts himself. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you. In verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you. What is John doing here? And he says in verse 7, this is nothing new to you. You've heard it all your life. Then in verse 8, he's reminding them that he did say it again. Jesus said it again. Jesus spoke the very same thing in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34. This is Jesus speaking. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. How is this a new commandment? How did Jesus say this is a new commandment? He said it all the way back in Leviticus. Because it says that ye love one another as I have loved you. Jesus raised the bar. Before that time, they knew nothing of the love of Jesus. They had not been, Jesus had not been on earth before that time in person as a human. We know he's laced all throughout the Old Testament. We know that we've looked at that before, but he's never appeared as a man, never appeared as Jesus until the New Testament. They knew nothing of the love of Jesus until then. Jesus says here is a new commandment. Not just love one another as I have loved you. It's even more of a challenge. Love as God loves, that agape love, he says, Mendigo. He says it's true in him and in you, John says. Because the darkness has passed and the true light now shineth. What is that? He's talking about the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the gospel. The light now shineth. We have the hope of the gospel now in the New Testament. John goes on in verse number 9. He that said he is in light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Again, John's making it very plain here. If you say you're in the light, if you say you know God, and you say you love God, and you hate your brother, you're a liar. You're in darkness even until now. He says you're not even saved. You're in darkness even until now. Those two don't go together. You can't live in the light, like the true light it mentions in verse 8, have love that Jesus gave us to measure up to, and at the same time hate your brother. The two don't go together. You can't put them in the same person. He says you're in the darkness even until now. It says in 1 John, verse number 10, he that loves his brother abideth in him, abideth in the light, and there's an occasion of stumbling in him. Very exact opposite again in verse number 9. If you do love your brother, you abide in light, abideth in light. Notice it says loveth. That's an ongoing love, constantly in that spirit, in that attitude of love. Now, I'm not always happy with everybody, believe it or not. There's a big difference between being temporarily upset, temporarily angry with someone, and hating them. There's a big difference between the two of those things. John says, if you have the spirit of love that we know comes from Christ, if you have that spirit of love, continual love about you that loveth his brother, well, he abideth in the light. Guess what? There's no occasion of stumbling in him. Imagine that. Why is that? Why is there no occasion of stumbling? Because he has the light on. It's a lot easier to walk when you have the light on. If you're constantly walking in darkness, it's going to be very easy for you to trip up. Turn the light on, you're not going to stump your toe near as much. Believe me, I know from experience. You can ask Natalie. Stump my toes all the time. If you're constantly living in hatred and anger and you're not in the light, it's going to be easy for Satan to throw something at you and trip you up. If you're in darkness, it's easy to trip. But if you're the one living in the light, as John says, if he is light, there's none occasion of stumbling in him. It says in verse number 11, but he that hates his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Again, John is making things pretty simple. If you're abiding in the light, you're going to be abiding in love. If you're abiding in darkness, there's most likely going to be a lot of hatred that falls along with that. He that hateth his brother is in darkness. No questions about it. You can't love someone like Christ loves someone and also be in hatred at the same time. Those two don't go together. That word hateth his brother, the word hate means to detest. Absolutely void of love. No love whatsoever inside of you. If you're that way, then you walk in darkness, John says, and knoweth not whither he goeth. That darkness hath blinded his eyes. If you're not saved, if you're living in sin, don't be surprised when you trip up. Don't be surprised when you fall into destruction. Why? Because you have no spiritual discernment. You have no light. You don't know where you're going. Your mind is not thinking the way God thinks. The darkness has blinded your eyes. He says you're not going to make the right turn because it's dark. You don't have any spiritual discernment about you. It says in Romans 12, verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. That's easy to say, but that's hard to live. Another test here from John. Two tests, and there's a lot more here I'm not going to get to tonight. Do you really love God? Are you really saved? You get some tests here for these people he's preaching to. Do you habitually keep his commandments? Do you make it a habit of being on guard against sin, against temptation? Is that your goal, to guard against sin? If you have no care about sinning or doing wrong, John says, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. If you can sin and get away with it, never care anything else in the world about it, probably need to check up on your salvation. Second test, do you love the brethren? It's simple. You can't live in hatred and detest your brethren and also have light inside of you. It's not going to work that way. Some simple tests given by John. Very simple. Don't look at me tonight. Look at your own heart tonight. Are you constantly in hatred toward other Christians? Do you not have any desire? Do you not constantly have a desire to keep sin out of your life? If so, you might want to check up on your salvation. Now we all know we all sin. And I've said it over and over again. I said it on purpose. John even told us that. Trust me, I know we're not perfect. I am not perfect. Believe it or not, you are not perfect either. That's the point. We're all sinners. We all trip up. We all get angry from time to time. There's a big difference between that hatred he talks about and being temporarily angry. Two simple tests tonight. John has many more in this passage. We'll get to later on if the Lord allows. Do you keep his commandments? Do you guard against sin? Do you love your brethren? You have a love for brothers in Christ. You have a love for the church and things of God. Darkness and light. They can't both abide in the same heart. It's a big difference. Lord, thank you for this day. Everything given us, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, thank you for your opportunity for salvation. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Lord, thank you for the love you can give us, Lord. Lord, I pray you help us tonight. Lord, help us guard against sin in our lives. Lord, let us be on watch for it. Lord, let us be a witness to those around us. In Jesus' name.